Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank God for that song. It's funny how the Holy Spirit works. I didn't instruct them to sing that song. They didn't know what the message was going to be about.
Yes.
But God knew.
Yes.
He worked it out, and I thank God for that. As always, I desire your prayers.
Yes.
When I stand before you,
yes,
I want to give you what the Lord has given me in a way that you'll understand it and it'll be helpful to you.
Amen.
In your life. I also want to welcome everyone here this morning.
Yes.
It is a privilege that we have to meet out unmolested.
Yes.
In the house of God. The Lord meets us here.
Yes.
And he blesses us every time, and I'm blessed and encouraged by that this morning. Again, I want you to pray for me because God gave me something about 2-3 weeks ago. I was going through a difficult time, and the Lord gave me a song number 179, and we're going to go through at least one of the verses, and that's going to be the message, and I've got some scriptures to go along with it, some comments. But I want you to know that I was going through a very rough patch in my relationship with the Lord and in my life. And one of the things that I try to do is I don't want to put what I got going on somebody else. And I believe that that's a good thing in one sense, and in the other sense, it's not a good thing, because God wants to help us in our trials and in our tests and in our situations and circumstances of life. And so sometimes we struggle with that. I know that I do. And so I was going through a lot of struggle. My joy wasn't where it needed to be. Now, from the outside looking in, you probably couldn't tell what was going on with me, but I didn't have the joy. I know when I don't have the joy that I need. I know that when I sing the songs of Zion, when I come amongst the people of God, I want to be uplifted. I want to give praise and thanks unto the Lord, and I want my soul to be filled. And so when that's not happening, when there's a barrier there, when there's something going on, then I know that that's not right, and I don't like that. And so I was dealing with that, and my joy wasn't where it needed to be. I was being easily frustrated. Seemed like simple things would become more difficult for me to deal with. I was dealing with, it seemed like a dark cloud over my head, and my patience and my love and my humility was being affected. God says he gives grace to the humble. He says he resists the proud, but he gives more grace unto the humble. And so it doesn't mean that I didn't have any grace, but I needed more grace. And I was in a position where I didn't have the humility to get that grace, to access that grace. And so in general, I didn't feel as close to God as I wanted to. And I felt stuck. I felt stuck. So one of the songs that he gave me is a verse of a song that says, "Sometimes I feel discouraged. And I think my life in vain. I'm tempted then to murmur and of my lot, my position, my circumstance, complain. But then I think of my Jesus and all he's done for me. Then I cry, O rock of ages, hide thou me. O rock of ages, hide thou me. No other refuge have I but thee. In life's dark vale I wander, far, far from thee. Then I cry, O rock of ages, hide thou me." You have to understand that God is always standing by. He's always wanting to help us. But sometimes we hinder our own selves because we're not there. We're not giving our problems to the Lord. We're not acknowledging him in our lives. We're not getting close to him like he wants us to be when we're in these difficult situations. So God wants to help us. He wants to bless us. I'm thankful and encouraged for the song that was sung. He's been a friend to me all my life. I thought about, and we're going to get into the song, but I thought about when I wasn't saved. And I thought about many times that there were situations where my life was in danger. My mental health was in danger. Do you know that there are more dangers than just life and mental health? Do you know that you can become physically permanently damaged, and it'd be difficult for you to come back from that. God had mercy upon me in those times. There are times when things can happen to us and hurt our hearts so bad, seem like we'll never come back from that. God was there for me then. He was there for me then. He had mercy on me then. He said he came to heal the brokenhearted, and so there must be a need for a healing of the brokenhearted if that's what he came to do. And so God had mercy on me then. And so I said, Lord, I've got to get out of this deal. I've got to get out of this funk that I'm in. And I've got to get back in a place where I'm enjoying my salvation. I'm enjoying my relationship with you. And God sent me that song. It's a song that's familiar to us. It's entitled, Take It to the Lord in Prayer. It's song number 179. God knows and cares about us. He cares about us individually. He cares about us collectively. He cares about everything that affects us. And he cares about everything that affects us from without and from the in and from within. And so take it to the Lord in prayer. All right, go to the song number 179 in your songbook. I'm going to start off with the first verse in this song. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus. And the brother just sang a song, A Friend, My Love in Jesus, Everything to Me. And so this goes right along with the message. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus. I want to say this morning that God is our friend. Yeah. I want to say that he loves us, and he proved his love when he suffered and died for our sins. Somebody go to Proverbs 18 and 24. If you beat me there, go ahead and read it. But it's talking about a friend, and it's talking about the great God of heaven and what kind of friend he is to us. Do you have Proverbs 18 and verse number 24, please? All right. All right. A man that hath friend must show himself friendly.
And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
All right. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. God is that friend to us. Jesus is that friend. There's a song that says, Christ, the friend we need. Jesus Christ is the friend that we need. And so when we can't rely upon those that we normally will rely upon. All right, you have to understand that, and I've said this before, but bear with me this morning. Sometimes your friends have problems and issues too. And so when you would come to them and you would say, listen, I need help here. I need you to hear what I have to say. I need you to care about what I have to say. I need you to tell me what to do or can you do something about it? The problem is sometimes they got their own problems, and they need help too. And so they don't have what you need at that particular time. But it says here in Proverbs 18 and 22, if you're going to be a friend, you got to show yourself friendly. We understand that. But the last portion of that verse, it says that there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I got a little brother. His name is William Ewell. And he passed some years ago. When it talks about a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, my brother would literally die for me, and I would for him. Yes. They're saying that Jesus is closer than that.
Yes.
Jesus is our friend in that way. And so when we're in these situations, we have to remember that this is the kind of friend that we have on our side.
Right.
All right? It says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All right? Go to Romans 8 and verse number 34. I'm going to show you how much of a friend God is. We're going to talk about God in many different ways. We're going to talk about Jesus in many different ways. But I want us to understand something as well. Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, but he also does something else for us. What does it say in Romans 8 and 34?
Who is he that condemns?
All right.
It is Christ that died.
Right.
All
right.
All
right.
All right. All
right. This scripture is talking about that friend that we've been talking about so far. It's talking about the one that died, not only died for us, right, but the one that went back to the Father, and he's still not off the job. Have you ever thought about it that way? He's still on the job. He's making intercession for you and for me.
Yeah.
When our name comes up, when we pray to God and we say, God, we have this problem and that problem, then Jesus takes what we say, he interprets it, and he advocates for us to the Father so that we can get what we need. May God help us this morning. This is the friend that Jesus is. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I wasn't doing that, was I? I understand that God loves us. I understand that Jesus is my friend, but I didn't take advantage of that, did I? And so I got down in the dumps. God doesn't want you down in the dumps. God wants to lift you up and encourage your heart and to bless your life no matter what you are going through. May God help us this morning. What a friend we have in Jesus. The next phrase is all our sins and griefs to bear. Go to 1 Peter 2 and 24, and then the next scripture will be in Isaiah 53 and 3. But first we'll go to 1 Peter 2 and 24. Jesus bore our sins and our griefs, and I'm going to prove it to you here this morning. Won't you be thinking? All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. It says here, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. The tree is referring to the cross, all right? That we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness by whose stripes ye were healed. This is proving this phrase of the song. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he died for your sin and my sin. No one else could do it, all right? No one else could have died for your sins. No one else could have died for my sins. But Jesus, who was in heaven at the time, was asked by God to come down into this wicked world and live a life of purity, live a life of goodness, and his reward for that by the people that were here was to crucify him. All right? But when he was crucified for your sin and my sin. Doesn't mean that we should live in sin. Doesn't mean that we can't be delivered from sin. But because God was crucified, because Jesus came down and died upon the tree, now we have a right to the tree of life. Now we have power over sin. And he did that for you and for me. Think about a world where nobody could say no to the devil. Think about that. This is what Jesus did for you and for me. He gave us the ability when he died upon the cross to say no to the devil. He gave us the ability to have our relationship with God restored to the point where God can live in you and in me. And when that devil come along with something to destroy us with, we can tell him no and send him on his way by the God's strength and by his power. May God help us. This is the friend that we're talking about this morning. When I was in sin, I know about all of this. Because I haven't always been saved, and I haven't always been living right. And so I wasn't using the friend that God was to me. I wasn't using the friend that Jesus is to me. And so what I was doing was I was intending to do better. I was wanting to do better. I was even trying to do better. But I found that many times I was unsuccessful. Until I gave my heart unto the Lord. And he cleansed me. And he saved me from even my own self. That's when I began to be able to say, you know what? I'm not going to do that to the devil. And then I didn't do it. This is the friend that we need. This is the friend that we need. What about those that are bound by habits? What about those that are being destroyed by their own thoughts and by their own ways? God has deliverance for that. He has healing for the broken heart. This is the friend that we need. So he bore our sins and our griefs on the cross. We talked about the sins, but I want to talk about the griefs for a little bit. Let's go to Isaiah 53 and read verses number 3 and verse number 4. Let's talk about it a little bit. What a friend we have in Jesus. When Jesus came down and he died upon the accursed tree, he died for your sins, he died for my sins. He also gave us an understanding that his suffering that he suffered, he understands us. And we'll bring it out here in verse number 3 of Isaiah 53. Read it for us, please. Despised and rejected of men.
Man of sorrows and acquainted with grief.
Man of sorrow and acquainted with grief.
And we hid, as it were, our faces from him.
We hid our faces from him.
He was despised,
we esteemed him not.
Surely he had borne our grief.
All right, listen in here. He borne our grief, carried our sorrows.
And we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
All right, and so God is acquainted with what we're going through.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to get over to us this morning. Jesus was acquainted and is acquainted with what we're going through.
Yes.
All right, and so when we come to him with our needs and our desires, with our requests, we can know that what the scripture bears out is that he suffered like we did. He went through things like we did. He was tempted like we are, but he was able to overcome. And so when we come to him and we ask God, help us with this temptation that I'm having. Help me with this trial, this test that I'm going through. Help me with this difficulty of life that I'm facing. He's able to do it, and he's able to articulate that to the Father because he went through it as well. The difference between Jesus Christ and us is he did all of that without sin. He did all of that without sin. See, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Doesn't mean you continue to sin, but you have at one point or another in your life. Jesus did all of that, but I'm trying to get us to understand about his friendship and what he's doing for us. Not only did he come down and bear our sins and our griefs, but he's back on the right hand of God, making intercession for us. He understands us to the thousandth degree. But when some of the things that you and I go through, we go through that because of our disobedience. We go through it because we've done something that we shouldn't have done, that God never intended for us to do. But see, Jesus didn't do any of that, but still he suffered our sins and our griefs on the tree. All right? So he's able to understand us, and he's able to give us what it is that we need when we need it, because he has an acquaintance with what it is that we went through. May God help us this morning. God loves us. He's acquainted with guilt. He's acquainted with shame, because shame comes with sin.
Right.
And so when he bore our sin upon the tree, when he bore our grief upon the tree, that shame that went along with it, they shamed him, didn't they? They talked bad about him, didn't they?
Yeah.
Didn't do anybody wrong, but they talked bad about him, mistreated him. May God help us this morning. He's able to bear our griefs. He's able to bear our sins, and he's able to understand us in a way that nobody else can. So he can help us if we have a need before him. May God help us this morning. If you want to find that scripture, we're not going to go to it now. But in 1 Peter 2 and 22, it talks about he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. All right? So it grieves God when we don't come to him when we are in trouble, when we are in need. All right, it says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. The next portion says, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
Yes.
Want to talk about prayer? Want to talk about the privilege that we have.
Yes.
Privilege is defined as a special right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it is an advantage. It can be immunity granted. It's available to a particular person or group.
Yes.
People of God and all people have access to the creator of the universe at any time and at all times. No problem is too big. No problem is too small. There is nothing and God can do something about it. Think about if you wanted to speak to the mayor of Dallas. You ain't going to call him at 2. See, she knows about it. You're not calling him at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're going to talk to his aide. You might not talk to his aide. You might talk to an answering machine.
Right.
But I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble right now. I need your help right now. We've got the creator of all the universe on speed dial, if you allow me to say it like that.
Yeah.
We do. And it doesn't, you can be driving down the road and something is about to happen and you say, Lord, have mercy.
Yes.
And God will have mercy on you right there, yes. Make a way out of no way and spare your life. I'm talking about that from experience because he's done it for me.
Yes.
What's so special about me that he does this for us, that he grants us this kind of access, this kind of love? Why? He must love us. We don't know how much he loves us.
Right.
So the privilege of prayer. It says, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I want us to understand something. Prayer is a very interesting thing. God knows that we have needs.
Right.
He knows it before we even ask.
Right.
But he still wants us to ask.
Amen.
Do you know that there is humility involved in prayer?
Right.
Do you know that there is obedience,
yes,
involved in prayer?
Yes.
God honors obedience and he honors humility.
Amen.
The Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And so if I ask God for help, for me to really have an effective prayer, I've got to mean it. I've got to let go of my pride and I've got to obey what he's already set up. He said, you've got access to me at all times for any and everything. I've lost my keys I don't know how many times.
Yes.
I said, Lord, where are my keys?
Yes.
But guess what? Mm-hmm. Many times I didn't do that. I just kept looking for them. And kept looking for them. And I would still be looking for them.
Right.
Unless I got to the place and said, Lord, what am I doing? You know where those keys are.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute now. He's running the entire universe, not just this planet, but the entire universe.
Yeah.
And he stops and finds my keys for me.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes, Lord.
We look at God, we say, God, I need you to do this great thing. And don't get me wrong, God does do great things.
Yeah.
But we have to understand that he says we can bring everything to him in prayer. Men ought always to pray and not what?
Faint.
Don't faint.
Uh-huh.
Pray without what?
Ceasing.
What does that mean, pray without ceasing?
Spirit.
Pray all the spirit of prayer. Pray all the time. Pray in the spirit. Pray with understanding, right? And so this is what he has given us in terms of having a better life down here below and then making heaven our home. This is the key to everything. If I can get to a place where I understand who God is and what he wants for my life,
yes,
and then I apply what he has given me,
amen,
through prayer. Lord, I want to pause here for a minute and get real serious with us. We pray about keys and we pray about finances. We pray about maybe somebody else. But when it comes to me and my shortcomings, I said my shortcomings, my problems, my issues that I know that I have, some kind of way it becomes real difficult to pray unto the Lord. And I'm talking about me too. Lord, help me. Got short with this one. Ignored that one. Had an attitude with this other one. I'm a Christian.
Yes.
I'm a child of God.
Yes.
I got to do better.
Amen.
Some kind of way.
Yes.
So why not ask God to help me with that stuff? Yeah, I'm worried about the homeless. I'm worried about everything and everyone. But what about me, though? I need you, Lord, to help me.
Amen.
What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Well, Lord, I don't know how to pray. Somebody get Romans 8 and 26.
Yeah.
Romans 8 and 26. What does that say? Lord, I don't know how to pray. I can't pray fancy like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. I don't pray long like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. So, Lord, I ain't going to even pray.
Lord, bless.
What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Read, please.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity.
All right.
For we know not what we should pray for as we ought.
All right.
The Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
So you mean if I don't even know how to pray,
yes,
I can pray?
Yes, you can. That's right.
Did y'all know that? The devil is cruel. He'll tell you, well, you can't pray no fancy prayers. And you go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is what I got, and I need help with it. Will you help me? And I'm going to let you help me.
Amen.
Do that.
Yes.
And I don't care how that, as long as you do it respectfully and mean it, the Lord will meet you right there.
Yes.
It says the Spirit maketh intercession for us. All right, so he can change whatever needs to be changed and make it to what it would need to be like in order for you to get what you need. Lord, I'm lonely, Lord. I'm lonely. Tell him you're lonely. Lord, I'm sick. We're telling him we're sick now. We're telling him that. We're telling him we're sick and we're hurting. We're telling him that in a minute. Lord, I'm sick. I'm hurting. I need you now. Don't give. And ain't nothing wrong with that. You should. Who else is going to help you? The devil gonna help you? Can you help yourself?
No.
You see? And so God, he's looking down on you and looking down on me.
Amen.
And he wants to help us. When I'm in that situation I was telling about, that funk that I was in, whole time God looking at me like, when you gonna ask me? So, when you gonna... What you going to do? You just going to sit there and beat yourself up and just keep struggling? Or you going to ask me for some help? What you going to do?
Amen.
Lord, help us.
Yes.
I'm a pastor and a minister and everything else, and I done forgot to ask God to help me. Lord, help me.
Yes.
I believe there's some pride in there. I'm being honest with you this morning. Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. Fetch your fervent prayer of righteous man availeth much.
Yes.
Must have been some pride in there. You know, sometimes I feel like I shouldn't be asking God for stuff. I'm serious. God has been good to me. All the foolishness I've been involved in and done in my life, I don't need nobody to second that. But it's true. And he loved me still.
Thank you, Lord.
He saved me and is keeping me.
Amen.
Gave me a family and I got a employ everything. I got a house and all this. I don't deserve anything. You understand?
Yeah.
But where do you see in the Bible that it says, pray if you deserve it?
No.
Have you found that in there?
No.
Know why you ain't found it?
No.
Because it ain't in there.
Right.
It just ain't in there. I don't deserve it, and neither do you. But he loves us, and he wants us to use a prayer to help us in this life.
Yes.
And so we got to do that.
Yes.
Lord, help me.
Amen.
I don't know how to do it. Sometimes I don't even know why I don't pray. But I said, Lord, this last time that I went through this deal, I said, Lord, help me. I don't want to be in this place again.
Amen.
I'm not going to be beat up and beat down and damaged off for weeks on end because I'm unwilling to pray for whatever reason. That just don't make no sense.
Really?
I'm going to ask you for some help.
Amen.
And I know you'll help me.
Yes.
Because you love me. It says, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I want to encourage you this morning to take everything. Did I miss anything in the everything? Take everything to God in prayer. May God help us this morning. Want to move forward a little bit. Not going to keep you much longer. I appreciate your time, your attention, and your prayers for me. It says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Do we know what forfeit means? We're giving it up. Forfeit means to lose or be deprived of property or a right. Or privilege. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All right, many times our peace can be distorted. I'm going to read one scripture to you about peace, and I want you to get a hold of it this morning if you already didn't know. It's in John, it's in 14 and verse number 27. If you beat me there, read that for me, please. John 14 and 27. And I want you to take note what color the writing is in, and then we'll talk about that this morning.
Peace I leave with you.
All right, it says, peace I leave with you.
My peace I give unto you.
My peace I give unto you.
Not as the world giveth, give I unto you.
Not as the world giveth, give I unto you.
Let not your heart be troubled.
Don't let your heart be troubled.
Neither let it be afraid.
All right, and so what color is that in? So who said that? Let's talk about it now. We're talking about that friend now, right? What, the same one that came down here? Did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Got mistreated. All he's doing is healing people and helping people, right? That's what he's doing. They crucified him, talked bad about him, disrespected him. They spat on him. Did you know they spat on him?
Yes.
Spat on him, right? He went through it all anyway. Didn't have to go through it. This is the one that came down from heaven. I want us to understand something here. If Jesus wanted to, he could have said, listen, I'm sick and tired of this. I'm not doing this.
True.
Jesus had a will. You have to understand that. He had a will. And he could have said, I'm not doing this. These people, they're just not right. I'm done with these people.
Right.
And then where would we be then?
Lord.
You see? But he went through it all anyway. Went through all that. Then went back to the Father and took up his place on the right hand of God. And he's listening at all times to your prayer and my prayer. And he's interpreting and advocating to God. And then he said, I'm going to give you some peace. If you don't have peace, I got peace for you.
Amen.
I got peace for you. You need some peace? I need some peace.
Amen.
I need peace and quiet, but we ain't going to worry about that. He got peace for us. Well, I will start there.
Amen.
May God help us. He said, peace I give unto you. Yes. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He said, I've got some peace for you.
Amen.
Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. All right, and so the enemy, he lives in fear. He likes to put fear on people. He likes to trouble people. But you and I don't have to be troubled. We don't have to be fearful. We got to pray. We can pray at any time and at all times. Somebody get that scripture. I referenced this before. Pray without ceasing. Somebody get that scripture. Because what that's saying to you and to me is, I can do it anytime I need it. It doesn't matter. I can do that. I want y'all to know that this morning. You and I can do that. We can pray in an instant and God will answer our prayer because he loves us. But I want to continue to talk about peace a little bit. He says, not as the world giveth.
Right.
The world can try to give us some peace, and it may be a little peace temporarily. Some people get their peace from the security of their position in life.
Right.
I've made a lot of money. I've got money in stocks. I've got a nice home. It's in a gated community, which is it's on an island away from everybody. And so nothing bad can happen to me there. I got news for you. I got news for you. Devil, he can go anywhere he want to on earth. And he can get in your bed with you at nighttime and you can't sleep and everything else. See? And so what you need is God.
Yes.
What you need is that friend, Jesus, to talk to when you're in those situations.
Amen.
Your money and your position in life is not going to give you this kind of peace.
Right.
You need the peace that passes all understanding.
Yes.
It's not dependent upon your circumstances or your situation.
Right.
Amen.
That's a different kind of peace. And God has that for us. Did somebody get that? Pray without ceasing.
1 Thessalonians 5:17.
All right.
Pray without.
1 Thessalonians 5:17. If that's not highlighted on your phone or in your Bible or underlined or something, I'm just saying.
Yes.
It's a thought anyway. Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. I'm encouraging you this morning. Don't let him take it away. Don't give it away. It's your right. It's your privilege. If you've given it away or you don't have it, come back and get it today.
Yes.
You can have your peace. You can get it back today. It says, oh, what needless pain breed breath. Brother Tavis preached a message a while back about needless pain. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here. I'm not going to hold you too much longer. Y'all continue to pray for me.
Yeah.
But some pain is needed and necessary, and there's a lot of pain that is needless.
Yeah.
So we suffer these types of things when we do certain things. Somebody get John 16 and 33, and it's going to be talking about some of the things that we're talking about today.
Yeah.
What does it say in 16 and 33?
All
right.
That in me ye might have peace.
All right.
In the world ye shall have tribulation.
All right.
But be of good cheer, I have overcome.
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. So don't be alarmed. All right. And this is written in red as well, so we know what that means. In the world you shall have tribulation, which means trial and test and difficulty. You're going to face difficulty in life. That's just part of it. Whether you're saved or not saved, you're going to face some things.
Right.
And so you need to arm your mind with that understanding. All right, in the world you'll have tribulation. But it says here, this last portion, I love it. It says, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So there's nothing that you're going to face that with God you cannot have success. You understand? That's what that means when it says he's overcome the world.
Right.
And so when we come to these places of tribulation and difficulty, we need to access the one that has overcome the world.
Yeah.
All right? And so God has that for us.
Yeah.
There's needless pain is something. I want to talk about a few of the ways that we have some. So, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear.
Yeah.
Needless pain is pain and suffering that is not ordained by God.
Right.
All right, God allows sometimes some things to come our way to help us to recognize our need for him, and so that we will turn to him. And so sometimes when we're not listening, then we need something more to help us to get to where we need to be.
Right.
So when you're in a trial or in a test as a child of God, or just in life in general, first thing you need to do is, what's going on here? Is there something? The Bible says all things work together for good, them that love God, them that are called according to his purpose.
Yeah.
And so what is it in this thing that God is trying to get over to me? All right, if I'm not saved, then I need salvation. If I am saved, what is it he trying to work out of me? What is he trying to work into me through this pain that is ordained by God? The way that you know that it's ordained by God is because you're doing all that you can to be obedient unto God, all right, and it came upon you anyway. Some needless pain is because we're being disobedient. Lord ain't tell us to go there, and he didn't tell us to do that, but we did it anyway. And now we in this pain, and we say, I can't tell you I ain't done it. I've done it.
Right.
That's the truth of the matter.
Yeah.
But what is the point of going through it and understanding that it's my doing that got me in this position anyway, if I'm just going to go and do it again? How about we learn from it? How about we learn from it?
Yeah.
It happened. I messed up. I disobeyed. I did whatever. And so now, what can I get out of this thing that is good? God has some good in it for us.
Yeah.
So, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain. Another needless pain that is not ordained by God is when we fail to acknowledge God.
Right.
Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. So when we don't acknowledge God, we come to a place where decisions need to be made, and we say, Lord, don't even worry about it. You can take this one off. I'm not even going to consult you on this one. I'll make the decisions here. Needless pain.
Right.
Needless pain. Yeah. If it don't work out, then what you going to do? You're going to go to the Lord, right? May as well. Well, why not just ask him in the first place, and you don't have to go through all that suffering?
Amen.
May God help us. Be obedient unto God. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he said, right?
Yeah.
He said obedience is better than sacrifice, right? And so what I can do is, before I make these decisions, I can ask the Lord, and he can lead and guide and direct me in my life.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so another form of needless pain It's when we're suffering for a good cause, for something that is ordained by God, but we don't. Do you know that God wants to help us in everything?
Right.
In everything, even the stuff that He allows to come our way. Listen, Daniel still went into the lion's den.
He did.
Didn't he? Joseph still went to jail, didn't he?
Yes.
He still got mistreated, thrown in the pit, and everything else.
Right.
Right? So God, but who was orchestrating that? God was orchestrating that in his life, right? And so what I'm telling you this morning, that you may go through something that is difficult, that God is allowing you to go through. He wants you to go through it, but still ask God for his help.
Yeah.
It's needless pain if you don't ask God for his help.
Right.
You can go through it in a better way with God's help.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. And the last portion says, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Yes.
Everything to God in prayer. Luke 18 and 1. I appreciate your time and your attention.
Yes.
If you get nothing else out of this, I want you to understand that God is standing by.
Yes.
If you're not in a difficult situation, just wait a while. You're going to have to deal with something because that's how life is. I want you to understand that through prayer, through a relationship with the friend that we have, you can get the help that you need. I don't want you suffering needlessly. I don't want you going through difficulty by yourself. God did not intend for you to have to do that. And so I want to encourage you this morning to access God through prayer, through a relationship with Him.
Amen.
And you'll better your life right here and right now. And then when it comes time to leave here,
yes,
He'll be with you with that, with you through all of that as well. And He spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray,
yes,
and not to faint.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is instructing us to pray.
Mm-hmm.
He's instructing us to keep our relationship with Him,
yes,
intact.
Yes.
What happens is that we gain a relationship with Him through prayer, and what happens is we learn that we can trust Him.
Yes.
We learn that we can trust Him,
yes,
which is good for us anyway, because He intends good for our life, right? And so if we're going through our life leaning on Him, keeping close to Him, we're in a place of safety throughout the rest of our life, all right? And then when we leave here, it'll be just like it always was. He'll go with us through the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
God is with us here, and then when it's time to leave here, He'll be with us there as well.
Right.
He's got us covered completely and entirely. It's up to us to use the friend that we need,
yes,
for the help that we need. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me. Pray for me that I don't have to go through these types of things again.
Yes.
If I'm going through something, I want to use that friend that I have in Jesus. Again, pray for me. I will be praying for you. May God help you.